Hello and welcome to Finest City Improv's podcast. We're sitting down here today with the lovely ladies of Haste Theater. My name is Tommy Gallen. I am joined by my good friend
Dino Spazzini.
And we are just going to chat it up right now. We just had an amazing World According To show. And ladies, can you please go around, introduce yourselves, and say hello to our audience.
Hi, I'm Anna. Nice to say hi.
Hi, I'm Jessie.
Hi, I'm Sophie.
Hi, I'm Elena.
Hello, I'm Valeria.
Hello, Ellie here.
Hey, guys. So thank you so much, first of all, for joining us and for being a part of The World According To. There's also another gentleman sitting here with you. He wasn't on stage tonight. Can you introduce yourself and just let us know who you are and why you're here?
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm the technician that's traveling around the States with the girls.
Awesome.
He's also called Man Boy.
Man Boy is an easier way to remember.
So let's
that.
Start with you then, Paul. What's it like traveling around with six women and putting on a show?
Well, it has its ups and its downs. I've only been here for a month doing the San Diego stint. They had other technicians living after them around the rest of the country. But yeah, it's been fun. It's been hard work because a lot of the show's been created in the States since we've been here. A lot of the set and the props and stuff have been built. But yeah, it's good, and these guys have been working really hard, and I'm sure they're going to tell you all about it.
We love you, Paul. Thanks, man.
We
buddy.
Love you, Paul. Aww, so
you're
sweet.
Okay.
Nice. So you said that Paul just told us that the show was, a lot of it was created here in the States. Can you guys tell us about like how that works and what your process is, how you put a show like this together, and tell us a little bit about your show as well?
Well, we first did a kind of version one of this show in England. So it was a hideout, and it was kind of immersive to it. We led the audience around this little bar, and it was the same story, but it was kind of a completely different structure, and we had a really great live band playing with us. So we did that, and then we did a bit of rehearsal before we came, and then we came away and jumped straight into rehearsal, and we mostly kind of like, we have the main points of the story, so we chose Theseus and the Minotaur, but we changed it a little bit. But we took the main action points of that, and then we used each of those as a basis for a scene, and then we do different things. We mostly play a lot of games, funny around a bit, but also do a lot of improvising, and then have some of us out watching and be like, hey, yeah, that really worked. And then we get a basic structure for that scene, and then we try and pull extra bits out. So like, if we want to make the character more rounded, we sometimes do stuff like animal work, kind of like creating a character from an animal, like its physicality and its rhythms, and then building that up into a person. But a lot of playing around. I think it takes quite a long time to sort the wheat from the chaff, but I think we got there in the end.
Cool. You've done two shows now so far on the Fringe?
Three shows.
Three shows on the Fringe Fest.
Two shows. We did one last year, Oyster Boy, and then one.
Oh, I see. Okay, cool. And so, where are you guys all from? You can go around, just say your name again so we know who's talking.
This is Anna. I grew up in Aberdeen in the northeast of Scotland, but my mum's side of the family is German.
Nice.
Jessie, and I was born and raised in London, where I still live.
My name is Sophie. I was born in a place called Bath, and I lived there for 6 years. I moved to Leicestershire, which is a very boring place in England. It's basically the middle of country.
And
it's
lots of cows.
Lots of cows there. Not much else. Then I went to Manchester for university, and now I live in London. So I'm from England, essentially, but kind of like a identity crisis.
I'm Elena. I was born in Todi, which is a really small town in the countryside of Italy, the very centre of Italy. And I moved to London almost 2 years ago.
Valeria, I'm from the north of Italy. I moved to London in 2011 and I'm still there.
She loves it. She's not allowed to move.
No, I do love it. Even if my dream is to be able to move to America, but...
Green card.
Green card, everyone. Green card.
Hi, Ellie. I'm also born and raised in London. That's it. I've lived in Manchester for a little while. That's it.
Nice. Are you guys, have you always been involved in theater, or is this like later in your life, you're like, oh, you know what, maybe I'll try this, or is this like since you were kids you wanted to be doing this stuff?
We all do have different backgrounds.
Uh-huh.
Which I think is the good thing about our group. Well, personally, Valeria, I've been doing theater since I'm 12. When I was very little, my mom kept on telling me that I kept on saying, I want to be a clown! I want to be a clown! So, probably now I am, so it's great!
My first experience of being in a play was when I was in, I guess, what you would call kindergarten or first grade. I'm not quite sure. Mm-hmm. We did Wizard of Oz for Christmas musical, and I played a munchkin, and we had a dance in pairs. And apparently, I don't remember, the other girl playing the munchkin stood in front of me when she wasn't, so I just pushed her off the stage. I've been kind of involved with it since then, really, off and on.
Yeah, from quite a young age, I was involved in film. I think I was more interested in music and dance, so I did, like, a lot of ballet and played the saxophone and the piano and stuff. So always, like, the performing arts and performance, but then really got into, like, theatre when I was, like, 15 or something, when I did A-levels, like, exams that you do at that age, going on to 18, and then I did it at university, and then straight on from there. But like Val said, it's really great, because, like, Jessie plays the clarinet in our show, and I tap dance and Val tap dances in this show, so, like, all of the skills that we have that, like, you know, that I haven't, like, pushed to the wayside or anything, but, like, we don't do so much, we can involve, because it's, like, a multidisciplinary practice, so it's really fun, especially this show. It's great for, like, involving all of our strengths.
Cool.
I was just going to say that I didn't do a degree in theatre, as Jesse speaking, by the way. As Ellie said, I did quite a lot of music before.
Is it tough to travel around? Because I've been involved with comedy troupes where we've traveled, but it's always real difficult to, like, raise the funds. And when you're traveling, the troupe that I was in New York, there were 8 of us. So 6 of you, 8 of us, very similar. And we always had, you know, we had to beg, borrow, and steal to figure out a way to make traveling happen. How do you guys do it? Do you have any pointers?
We hitchhiked here on a boat.
No, we basically raised all the funds. If anyone knows any rich people, we raised the funds for this tour completely on our own by doing lots of performances and workshops in schools of our previous show, Always Toy. We did that a lot. Mm-hmm. So saved all the money. We didn't take any money from that. So that's how we find our way here. We get a lot for free.
People are really kind to us.
Accommodation and people take pity on us, and we randomly get like 3 boxes of cereal and loads of cheese.
Yeah.
Nice.
Parties, like all the extra food.
We get invited to parties quite a lot.
And barbecue.
Yeah, invited to.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Since you guys travel around a whole lot, do you find that audiences are different? And are there any places that you go that audiences are either more receptive or less receptive?
Yeah, so we've been to Italy quite a few times, and we've stayed with Eleanor and Val's family and done quite a few performances there. And I think there's lots of Italian in our previous show, Oyster Boy, but it's largely in English. But there's quite a lot of visual comedy. You can understand it just by watching it, because it's physical, I guess. And I think they respond really, really well to, like, the physical comedy and the big moments in that. So personally, I really enjoy performing in Italy. But I think in America, people are always really, really supportive and, like, clapping everything. Like, you guys are, I'm not just saying it because we're here, by the way, I'm not sucking up, but you genuinely do have, like, the most kind of, like, I don't know, enjoying audiences.
Steal it.
We do a lot of audience interaction in our show, so it's really helpful for us if we've got like an audience who are there and with us.
And like ready and enthusiastic.
Sure.
That's a very good question, because it's very, very interesting to see, like all the places that you go, it's very interesting to see how the people respond to what you do.
Sure.
I remember the first show that we did the Rome Fringe Festival before we came to San Diego last year, and I think it was only like our 4th or 5th performance of Oyster Boy. And the first night of it was like halfway through, and everyone was completely silent. And then at the end of the show, they all just gave us a standing ovation.
Yeah.
And we were like, that's just how it works here, okay? Cool.
That was in Rome?
That was Rome.
Ah, cool. Do you guys find that there are certain scenes or certain things on stage that are your favorites to do? Like, do you have any favorite moments on stage?
I mean, in Oyster Boy, I really like when we do the French waiter scene, me and Jesse, because I can't speak a word of French. So if something happens, we improvise quite a lot. I can't. She can go, and I can't. I can just repeat the same 3 lines that I know.
I like to improvising in French, and then she just doesn't know what to do.
I love it.
Have you guys studied improvisation?
We don't do improv as performance. We do it as a way of as a means to devise our show.
Sure.
I guess, like, our master's degree where we all met, it wasn't that we were taught the rules of improv and, like, tagging in and out and stuff. Like, I think you guys do. I'm not sure because I don't know. Sorry. But we did do, like, the majority of it was still improvisation.
Sure.
But in, like, a few different contexts kind of thing.
Speaking of improv, tonight you were our guest at the show. What did you think of the show, the process, how it all went? We loved you guys.
It was so good. Yeah,
it was fun.
Yeah?
Really fun.
Yeah, it was really interesting the way that you can go with like one theme and then it can just change and
take it somewhere.
Yeah, different context.
Yeah.
We also watched you guys a few weeks ago to kind of see how you run things.
Which show did you come to?
The one where you had
Dominique. Female writer.
Yeah,
that was great.
Awesome. Yeah, that was a fun show too.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun tonight.
Oh, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
So much energy.
It was so funny to see the little moments that you'd obviously picked up on what we were saying, and then you just blew it up into something huge, and it was...
I thought they got it spot on, to be honest, girls.
Yeah. I thought their impressions were pretty good, to be fair.
Yeah, the accents especially. My favourite was when someone went, ladies! And all eight of you were just like,
which is what's happening right now.
So, Oyster Boy, you've done for at least a year, maybe more, and now you have a brand new show, basically, that you were kind of, are probably still flushing out as you go. Do you like one more than the other? Do you get kind of tired already?
You can't ask us that.
It's
like asking if we prefer our children.
The first child. Always the first.
I hope your kids never listen to this.
No, the little one's too little to listen to this.
I think it's, yeah, I mean, it's different every time, and obviously when you're on stage, you enjoy it, but the rush of doing something that you've, you know, been working on so much, and to just have to share that with an audience, you know, for the first few times as we've done here at the Fringe, it's just great, like having, you know, having that response.
Oh, they feel like,
got no idea how this is going to go, kind of.
Yeah, so about 2 days before we opened the hideout, I was like, I hate this. Why do I do this to myself? I feel like thrown up all the time. I just want to go home. Because we just had no idea what people would think. Because it is a bit different, Voice Boy, and what we're known for. Yeah, we've just had a really great response from everyone.
Do you do a lot of audience participation in Oyster Boy as well?
Not as much, but we still do. I think in Oyster Boy we do a little bit at the beginning, but most of the work we do, we work with the audience, even if we're not like directly like pulling them up or asking them. So we do a lot of like talking to each other as characters, but then always opening it out to the audience. And then if the audience throws something at us.
So that probably helps to keep it fresh and new also. You never know what an audience is going to give you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like yesterday, someone just got up on stage with us. and he was ready to tell the story of Thesis and the Mitre.
And he was great.
That was interesting. I mean, you know, that's never happened before. So,
have you had, I've done a lot of audience participation, and for the most part, people, like in the audience, they tend to want to make the show be better, so they are willing to participate.
Yeah.
But have you found that there are times that audience members, like, you grab them to bring them on stage, and they're like, no, I'm not going anywhere.
The time that Sophie was talking about earlier, when we all started laughing on stage, and Sophie was crying as her character, so she could pretend she was crying, was when we brought a poor boy up on stage, an Oyster Boy from an Italian school, and I think he was just really, really shy, and, you know, we don't know what the classroom politics is, but we brought him up on stage and he was not really doing what I wanted him to do.
Ellie's characters is really...
I'm a really horrible, pompous, bossy doctor. So, yeah. But he just looked so, like, embarrassed. And, like, I was like, lift up your arm. And he was, like, not lifting it up or anything. And
Ellie just, like, said this. I can't even remember what she said. But she was like, well, usually you're very good at that. And he had no idea what she was saying. And I just couldn't help myself. But I just was like...
Mostly I just felt bad. But normally, I think that was the only time that people haven't really participated. Normally people, like we say, are overly participatory.
Has it been
kind of
a flip side with somebody who's like, all right, this is my show now. I'm going to be the performer now.
What, yesterday?
Yeah, this guy yesterday.
We can talk later about their story.
Because I think, you never know what the audience is going to do, so you can't, rehearse for it.
So, yeah, you have a question?
Yeah. Paul, since you teach at this college, are all the other graduating groups this close or this collective?
No, they're not, to be honest. The class was only the six girls, so they bonded really quickly and obviously really well, and the work they've produced has been fantastic. Other companies in the past have produced good work, but I don't think they've had that bond from the beginning like these six have. And the work ethic that these guys have got as well, like they said already, raising money, keeping their day jobs, keeping their social lives going as well, is tough. And these guys have done it, and they've done it well. And they're going to start crying in a minute. But, yeah, so they've done a really good job, and it's a pleasure to work with them, really. So I'm back here for the second year now. Last year was work, this year isn't work. But, yeah, they've done a really good job. So the answer, yeah, they've done well.
Awesome. You mentioned social life.
But we don't have any. We don't have much of one.
So you guys are on the road now for a bunch of weeks. Your day jobs are flexible, I guess, if they give you the time to do this. That's awesome.
That was the kind of thing we all have to find jobs that would be that flexible.
I always like to ask that question of performers because I think that if younger performers who are listening to this hear it, I think it's inspiring to them to realize that even when you're extremely talented, you have to sometimes take other jobs to support it. Like this is something that you really have to be passionate about, and it seems like you guys really are.
Well, at some point, I think, that's my personal opinion, but I think you need to make commitment. Mm-hmm. It's like if you really want to do it, you really have to believe in doing it, and so you need to do everything that is possible for you to do what you want to do. And if that means to do other three jobs aside, well, you can do it for a while. It's okay.
As well, we've had like some of the most interesting experiences
in the past year
of touring than you would ever have if you just worked in an office, which kind of makes it worth it.
Like
today, we did our show at the Fringe, then we went and sang for a lesbian wedding on a rooftop on 10th Avenue, and then we came here and did like the improv show with you guys.
So then if you've got the opportunity to just look forward now, 5 years down the line, 10 years, like, what's the projection, what's the trajectory of where you guys want to be?
Hollywood.
No. Maybe having a space or a theater.
Yeah.
Do our own thing.
3 year plans, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, having a space, like, making, we kind of have a...
Wait, let's change the question. You want to start it again? In 3 years, where do you guys see yourselves?
We have plans of like which shows we want to be working on, but it kind of, we're juggling 3 shows at the moment. So Oyster Boy, The Hideout, and another one which we're doing in September, like a 2 week run. And then it kind of depends on how that goes, whether we're going to take that one on tour, whether we're going to, you know, like rework The Hideout. Kind of all planned, but it's also up for consideration and development.
Do you guys have like different characters off stage, like different personalities? Like one of you is like the all about business and making sure that everything's in line, making sure the airline tickets are purchased. And then one of you is like the clown who, you know, like, well, who, what are your personalities off stage?
We have
boring.
Not true.
You could don't, if it helps, don't talk about yourself, but point each other out and tell us about each other.
Sophie's the finance person. She loves money.
I don't
but
love
she's
money.
Also
money
the baby.
My life.
We call Sophie baby because not only is she the youngest person in the group, she's actually, I mean, obviously it's a joke, but you know, sometimes it's hard. And so we call her baby, and it's like, oh, baby's getting touchy, baby's hungry, baby's hurt herself,
baby is fluffing.
So yeah, she's kind of the baby, but then on the flip side, she's also the hardline finance officer. So I don't know. Those are the two sides of one coin.
Yeah, we all kind of had roles, like, before we did our last tour, so, as we said, so was finance, and, like, Val was doing marketing. I can't really remember what I was doing.
Val also takes a motherly role.
Yeah, Val's
she's
mom.
Mama.
And she happens to be the
oldest. She makes U-turns when we go in the wrong direction.
she's the driver.
I'm the anxious one of the group. I have questions.
Anna talking, by the way.
The best thing was last year when we were joking that we didn't want to leave America, so we were going to miss our plane. And so San Diego, the airport in San Diego is right in the middle. And it was about 6 a.m. I don't know what time after.
Yeah,
I think our flight was 6 a.m.
Val was driving, and I, being the worst person to drive, I'm like a bit of a scatterbrain. brain. I think, I don't know whether that's what people think of me, but...
No,
not at all. I'm leading things all the time and don't know where the hell I am.
Anyone found 5 silver rings at the Freckles Museum?
Yeah, I've lost them, so if you could find them, that'd be great. But I was navigating, and then you can carry on. Yeah.
Well, we had this little van that we had to, it was like a 7-seater that we had to return to the airport, but we'd only been 7 of us in there, but there were 6 of us and 6 suitcases with like the props for the show and everything like that. And I basically was sitting in the back with like my ankle was around my head.
Literally.
And, I was just kind of looking out the window and then I start seeing all these signs like Los Angeles, 90 miles. And I was like, we're definitely on the freeway now again. And I didn't want to say anything because I was nervous. And then, so these guys pulled up to ask where we were. They knew that they were lost.
And me and Val were in the front. Val was like, we're not going the right way. And I was like, I know, but we can't get off, so just don't say anything. We'll just carry on.
Bring the airline, bring the airline.
We're going to miss it, we're going to miss it. I need to get home.
Now. And then we...
We didn't miss our flight, and we had some great jokes with the airport workers.
All right, so we got clarinet player, dancers. What other, when you fill out your headshot resume and you put like,
special bottom, skills?
Yeah, special skills. I can, you
all
know.
All of them. Yeah, all of them. kangaroo tamer, painter.
Are you guys planning on visiting us again next year?
Not sure yet. It depends on my money, really. Like, yeah. I mean... To be honest, we always have the best time when we're here, and that's why we come back 2 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just, we don't really know what we're doing after the next show we're doing. It all just depends. Like, if we could, we definitely would. Yeah. And if we can't next year, then definitely the year after.
We're hopefully going to go to Edinburgh Fringe Festival. So that's kind of our plan for next summer, and it takes quite a lot of going. So that's the plan. But if we can come back to America as well, we will.
Why did you pick San Diego? It seems like there's a lot of other states with other theaters before you.
California, man! Yeah.
One for that, and one because we found out that, I mean, we tend to go where we can stay for free.
Ah.
So wherever we have friends, we find if there's something.
But we just found it on the internet.
And we found, like, we were just looking around randomly to which festival we could go, and we just found the San Diego Fringe Festival last year,
mm-hmm.
and we were like, why not?
And it was the first year, and we were in our first year as a company. We were really new, and I think that was really great for us because the festival was looking to, like, boost people and really make a big profile, and the press were really interested because it was the first year. I mean, they still are, it's only the second year, and, you know, obviously that's kind of what we need as a company, so that was really good. And then I happened to have so many friends here, so that was even better because we could come and live free.
Nice. And that new show, for all of those folks in London that are listening to this podcast.
Colin Firth is listening.
That's right.
Oh,
he follows
Colin.
Us.
He does.
Colin.
Yeah.
Hi, come on.
Hi, Colin.
I used to have a goldfish with Colin Firth, and then he died. So I need a new Colin Firth in my life. I'm quite handy because that's your name. Thanks.
So for all those folks that want to come see your show in London, I know we plugged you at the beginning of the podcast, but now at the end, can you just know one more time your website, your Facebook, all the information where we can find your info?
And our website is www.hastetheatre.com. Facebook is facebook.com/hastetheatre. Twitter is and the show in London is called Beyond Cragforth Rock. And we're playing at the CLF Art Cafe in Peckham, aka the Buffy Building.
And when does that start?
It starts on the
22nd of September until the 4th of October.
And that's in conjunction with Ali Colonia. He's a director. We don't normally work with a director, but we met her on our master. And both parties wanted to work together again, so it's kind of her original idea, and she directs that we've done all the devising. So that's a new venture for us. It's a collaborative venture of the company, but we're looking forward to it.
And Colin, my number is 0758. Sorry. But please email me.
Any questions, admin@hastetheatre.com.
Yeah.
And is
sure you've got Liz.
You.
Colin.
Colin, call me.
Is it the proper theatre spelling, or is it the theater?
Proper English.
Like theatre.
No, I feel like every theater major spells it T-H-E-A-T-R-E.
Proper way, yeah. That's the proper way.
T-H-E-A-T-R-E.
Yeah. Just got crazy there on the mics for a second. thank you so, so much for not only coming down and doing the World According to show with us tonight, but also to sit here and just shoot the proverbial shit, as people might say.
Thank you to everybody out there listening to us. This has been Dino and Tommy chatting with the fine ladies of Haste Theater. Check them out online, and if you'd like to listen to more of our podcasts, you can find us at www.finestcityimprov.com. I am Tommy Gallen.
I am Dino Spazzini.
And we are done.